Francis.
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Third hour, Felger and Mass on an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't, planetfitness.com. Chris Gasper writes for the Boston Globe and joins us every Friday at this hour in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Gasper, how you doing, kid?
Doing pretty well, Felgy. Are we taking these chairs with us? I certainly hope not.
Yes. You know, there used to be a real chair there.
Yeah.
But someone,
I don't know what the deal is here.
Someone, I'm not going to name who it is, threw it in the back of his pickup truck and took it.
Really?
So this is why Gasper's got a little chair, and he's like,
I'm like squatting here.
This is why.
Did he seriously take the chair?
This is why Chris is the little fella today. It's unfortunate.
Wow. It's like having Soucy on the show.
Murray, you should pop yours up just a little bit
just to
accentuate
it.
But
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
We don't really need.
This is great.
Hello down there, Chris.
I'm enjoying this.
Give us your takes.
I think, can I get a newspaper or something over here?
We'll get you that chair in the break.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little TP.
And again, I never said Zoe. I don't know. I don't know why you said that. I'm just telling you that someone threw a chair in the back of their pickup truck today and went home. That's all. I think. And I got a bad info on that one, too.
No, you did say so.
What do I know? What do I know? Gasper, let's talk Celtics. Let's talk this week. Let's talk where they are in free agency. That's headed by Marcus Smart. You've got a thought on the Marcus Smart situation as it stands here today.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting seeing Isaiah Thomas sign. And obviously, he's coming off an injury and get that $2 million from Denver. But, you know, I went back and looked at it a little bit. And there's so much of... You know, Marcus Smart is a winner, and Marcus Smart makes winning plays, and he contributes to your winning. And I just look at Marcus Smart. I think some of that's true, but I think it's been exaggerated. His rookie year, before Isaiah Thomas showed up, they were 20-32. 20-32. And you say, well, Smart was a rookie.
Okay, his rookie year.
But how much has he changed since his rookie year? He came into the league as a fully formed defender and hustle guy. I don't really think he's gotten significantly better there. He's always been great at it from the moment he walked in the league. Has he become a better shooter? Okay. He's the same guy.
Did you say this during the year? Or are you saying it now?
What do you mean?
Are you saying this as, like, this is the league's commentary on him? Or is this the way you've always felt? Have you been sort of, and I don't mean, like, you hate the guy, but...
No, I don't. I mean, I want him on my team.
But if you
got to know what you're worth,
have
though.
You always been against the Marcus Smart hype, always?
I would say, generally, yes. Yes. I mean, I want him on my team, but I do feel like he gets overhyped. I do. I do feel that way. And so, like I said, I think he's basically the same guy he's always been since he entered the league.
Defensively
and offensively.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah. And so, again, so they were 20-32. Isaiah shows up. They finish the year 40-42, make the playoffs. My point is, all this winning he's done, he's had an all-star caliber scorer there the whole time that they've won. What is the proof that on his own, he affects winning to such a large degree that you're a playoff team? There's no proof of that. And the proof that people don't feel that way is the way his restricted free agency is gone. If people definitely felt that way in the NBA, then he would have offers, and offers the Celtics couldn't match. They don't.
He's only worth something to a good team.
I'm just trying to think. You know, the same body hasn't improved offensively. Statistically, he hasn't.
No, he has. I mean,
I know.
Statistically, you'd say he got worse. From the three-point line, now he didn't shoot as many when he was a rookie, but from the three-point line, his rookie year, he shot 33.5%. Last year, he shot 30%. He's a career 29% shooter from there.
Correct.
But his first year was his best year from the three-point line. Field goal percentage, 36, 34, 35, 36.
His field goal percentage last year was exactly the same as it was his rookie year.
Exactly.
36.7.
Exactly
the same.
Boy, that's crazy.
He's the same player. And there's value to that player, but it's just not as much as he thinks, or I think a certain segment of the Celtics fan base thinks. You know, in terms of how much it affects winning and losing. And that's the thing. You know, again, once IT got here, like, who's more responsible for the Celtics' success during the time period that Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart were
here? Well, it's not even close. It's Isaiah.
It's Isaiah, right?
Well, look, the offense is always worth more in that league. This is part of the reason why I always said that Terry Rozier is worth more than Marcus Smart is, because Rozier can score and Marcus can't. Now, the funny thing is, this is going to sound funny. I actually do think he's improved offensively. His misses aren't as bad.
So are you saying those lead to more offensive rebounds or something?
I'm just saying that I think his overall shot mechanics and the release and all that has improved.
But hold on one second. I said that he didn't shoot as much. No, no, no. The three PA is 3-point attempts, right, per game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His 4 years in the league, 3-point attempts per game. 4.1, 4.0, 4.2, 4.6. So he shoots a little bit more, I guess. Just a little. Yeah. But he's not even shooting more or less.
There was a period of time there where I did. I thought his shot was getting better. In fact, I think it was at the beginning of last year. Well, all of a sudden, it looked like a real shot as opposed to that crap, those absolute bricks he was throwing up there before. But they still don't go in.
I mean, he has his moments. You know, you go back to the Cleveland series once Isaiah Thomas went down and the 27-point game in Cleveland, which I was at. I mean, he was great in that game. He has his moments, but it's inconsistent. And so I just think, you know, there's a little bit too much of the overselling of his impact on winning. Is he a guy that I want on my team? You know, if I'm playing in a playoff series, do I want him on my team? Yeah, because he's, you know, he plays hard. He's a hustle guy. He's an antagonist. He's a motivator for his teammates. All that stuff matters to a degree. But the reality is all that stuff I'm talking about is like a role player. That's like 6th, 7th, 8th guy. And the reality is you can do all that stuff. And if you send him to the Brooklyn Nets or the Sacramento Kings, they're going to be 12 games under 500 too. You know, it's not like suddenly those are going to become playoff teams.
So what's the end game here with the negotiation?
I think the Celtics are playing it the way they should. Like, we don't have to pay you a cent more than the qualifying offer. And the qualifying offer leaves them with some flexibility at the end of the year in terms of figuring out what they want to do. And also it puts him in a position where he has to sort of sing for his supper.
Don't you think he would have value, though, to a couple of teams beyond, you know, what you're talking about? Like, for example, we've talked about this. What if Philly signed him?
Yeah, I think that would make sense. I think Philly doesn't want to tie up that cap space, though, until they know they're out of Kawhi Leonard. I agree with you. I think he'd be a strong signing for them. They could use better wing defense. We saw that in the series against the Celtics. That would make a lot of sense. You weaken the Celtics, he'd have something to prove, an axe to grind with the Celtics. But are you going to do that and put yourself in a scenario where you have to offer him $12, $13 million a year to get the Celtics not to match, and then that's going to eat up your cap space, and you don't know what the deal is with Kawhi? I mean, I think they're saving their assets and their cap space for a big fish, for a real difference maker. That's not who he is.
Do you think Smart's agent has blown it in any way? And who's the agent again, Murray?
Happy Walters! Did you say singing for your supper? When the moon meets your eye like a big pizza pie. That's amore. Let's talk deals, Danny.
So Happy Walters, has he blown it in this thing, Chris?
I blew it.
I'm both terrified and entertained at the same time watching him do this. I'm also going to add a third. I feel like I'm a little creeped out right now. A little creeped out.
What, you don't like clowns, Chris? Come on. You're making me sad, Happy Walters over here. We got to talk a deal. Come on, get it done. The money's going to go up.
Happy Walters.
I mean, I
has Happy Walters blown
it? He's misjudged the market, yes. Misjudged the market. And this always happens, right? You know, when you create false expectations for a client, it becomes an issue, and that's where he is now. And now he has to find a way out of it. And I don't know if there is a way. Maybe there.
Have you ever spoken to Happy Walters?
I have not spoken with Happy Walters.
Somebody needs to tell him to change the name.
Right.
It just should be Steve.
I'm just thinking more like Jackass.
I told you, Irv.
Yeah.
Just got to pick a name. You can't, Harry.
How about Jack A. Walters?
But that. Do you think he? Right, so he's created a situation with the client, but the money's the money. It's not like he's, well, should he have taken the four-year offer from the Celtics last year?
In retrospect, yes. And here's the thing where if I'm the agent, I feel like I made a mistake. I should have been able to forecast that there wouldn't be as much cap space. I mean, you saw it even before free agency started. You had guys opting in to the final year of deals and picking up their player options, which you usually don't see in the NBA. So I think everybody knew there was a cap space crunch, and that's definitely, I think, contributed to Smart's situation. And so that's what you pay an agent for. He should have recognized that there was a little bit of a cap space crunch there. And then here's the other thing. Like, tampering happens in the league all the time. You know, you have to know who are the suitors out there. Like, you're not just guessing. You don't just get to free agency and say, hey, you're interested in Marcus Smart. No, you're talking all year to teams. Like, hey, if Marcus reaches, you know, restricted free agency here. Are you interested? Are you interested? You know, what would the parameters of a deal be? I mean, isn't that the way it goes in every sport?
Of course. Absolutely. You've got to know the landscape in the market.
Yeah, you got to cheat a little.
And
exactly, Matt.
You do. You have to cheat. I'm sorry. Like, I hate to
money for my client. That's what I'm looking for.
Old Happy didn't have it nailed.
What can I tell you? Boo-hoo. Sorry, Marcus. Hey, Chris, welcome in.
All right, so
this is so disturbing.
We've got the Marcus Smart stuff. Got whatever you want on Gender Free Friday with Casper. Your phone's right after this.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Electrifying at bats of the season, and I mean anywhere in the major leagues. Mookie Betts slaughters a grand slam. An incredible at bat, an amazing inning.
Let's get into this with Chris Gasper in our Tom Fair Tire Studios. To the phones, Stephen and JP. You're up next with Felger, Maz, and Chris Gasper. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, hi, guys. What struck me after seeing Betts' home run last night and how, you know, much obvious excitement he had about just the game, you know, it made me start thinking a lot more about the fact that when you look at our, you know, basic sports teams, NBA, NHL, baseball, I'm wondering, when did this history of baseball players being so polite and restrained and having so little personality begin? Because
can I tell you what it is, Steve?
Sure.
I'm going to drop you and you can listen through your radio, please. What I think it is the whole code is built on the fact that you fail more often than you succeed in that sport. And so this culture built up of don't celebrate the successes, don't rub in the failures, because if you're the best in the league, you're only going to hit one every three times anyway. So you start showing people up, you start, you know, shaking your ass, well, you're going to fail more than you're going to succeed, so everyone just cool it. I mean, I sort of think, and that just like over the decades, that took hold.
If that's true, though, why isn't it that way in Japan or Korea or other places? Because there's the same amount of failure.
I
think it's uniquely American, and it comes from the players in the game, in the beginning of the sport, it being dominated by white males from the South.
See, I believe it or not, I think Chris is right.
I mean, that sort of culture.
White males from the South don't celebrate in anything?
I think they wanted a certain genteel, sort of gentlemanly culture.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Rock has done a thing about this.
That's what I was thinking of,
You should find on YouTube, right? You should find about playing baseball the right way.
Sure, it's big in Wellesley.
I've heard of it.
He played big.
But there's look at the emotion with which they play the game in, you know, Latin American countries and in the Caribbean. Like there's a lot of passion, emotion in the game, and it's frowned upon by white Americans. So there's a cultural thing there. And this is why I think open it up. It's okay. No big deal. But I will say, with regard to last night, not to go down all the way down that road, to me it was how Mookie reacted that made the moment. Like, I've seen lots of guys have good at-bats and hit grand slams, but he doesn't flip out like that. Not usually. They're feeling it right now, man. They're buying in. Their confidence is sky high. They believe they can beat anybody at any time, and that could serve them well.
Chris, what's your confidence level in the team? Because these two still have them losing in the first round.
So I would say that I'm probably closer to them. I think they're a great regular season team.
Still not buying in.
Take that. I think they're a great regular season team. You can't question them on that. But I've always felt this, and this is way before this Red Sox team in the last couple of years, but it was something that occurred to me when I used to watch the Yankees, those Jeter Yankees play, because I thought that he was overrated, but they would always get to the playoffs, and then he would step up. And it was a situation where you have to build two teams if you're a general manager. A team for 162 that can get there to the playoffs, and then within that team, another team that can win it. I always thought for years that, you know, if Jeter was on the Red Sox, they wouldn't even get to the playoffs because he couldn't carry the load that Garcia Parra did. But because he was on a team that was built well enough to get there, once he got there, the guy was so clutch. He was nails in the playoffs. And so that worked. And I obviously they have the team to be great in the regular season. I don't know if within that team, when the game changes a little bit, they have a team to win in the playoffs. I mean, when you look at their starting pitchers the last 2 years, you get one guy that's made it through five innings as a starter, and that was Sale. He got his brains beat in by Houston. He gave up 7 earned runs. And even now, the bullpen, like that game last night, you know, not to be really negative about it, but with a better bullpen, Kimbrel doesn't even pitch. Like, he shouldn't have even pitched in that game. But because the bullpen is not reliable in terms of an alternate closer, when it starts going bad, for it was Barnes, right? When it starts going Barnes, bad for him, now Kimbrel has to come in the game the night after
but
a
Barnes
four
actually,
out save.
He actually pitched, well, I mean, he actually a couple of big strikeouts there at the end of that inning, whatever it was, the eighth, the seventh. He actually pitched himself out of it.
Yeah, but he got himself into it. And now they're kind of nervous about, okay, you know, there should be somebody else there that can finish that game. And you can get through the regular season that way, fine. I mean, they're great. But in the playoffs, does that come back and bite you?
I do. I worry about their high-end talent in the postseason. You know, it's a good way to put it.
Can I get you a whiteboard with an asterisk?
No, because I'm enjoying the season. You guys don't want to enjoy the regular season.
Oh, that's right. It's Mr. Regular Season over here.
That's not
true. Give me the 16-0 banner.
I will enjoy the top-of-the-table regular season and judge them in October. You guys want to prejudge them now.
I enjoyed last night, Chris. I don't know what you're talking about.
Vince in Boston on Isaiah Thomas. Yes, Vince.
Hey, guys. I'm not sure how I should feel about Isaiah signing for that low money. It makes me actually gives me less confidence in our current roster because we were sold on this guy, 2-time All-Star,
no,
All-NBA, and you know, Danny. It's just like this guy wanted the Brinks truck. He ended up getting the Tonka truck. I mean, this guy.
That's a good line.
Good job, Vince. Good job. Don't be surprised to read that in a Gasper column coming up.
That's pretty good, I have to admit.
But
thanks,
don't get
Vince.
That twisted. The team wasn't sold on that guy. That's why Danny Ainge rightfully sold high on the multi little peanut, or the little nugget now. It was everybody else that bought in way too much on Isaiah Thomas.
See, I'm with Murray. The Celtics never bought in.
Danny Ainge never sat there and chanted MVP when he went to the free throw line. That was you, people. That was you. That was you who overrated the guy.
I mean, again, a year ago, basically, 29 points a game, MVP chance. People talking about him like he was a franchise guy. Now, he's signing with the Nuggets.
No, he demanded the max, and he just signed for the minimum. He can't make less if he tries.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him. Obviously, there's
part
some,
of me feels bad for him.
There were obviously some extenuating circumstances, and I know it's easy to poke fun at the guy now, but given what he went through in that playoff run, the death of his sister, playing through that hip injury, I mean, he blood, sweat, and tears for the Celtics franchise, and unfortunately, in hindsight, you know, it cost him in the long term. I mean, it's funny. You always say, Felgri, oh, they'd never trade Gordon Hayward. What a bad look. Is it any worse than what they did to Isaiah Thomas?
Yes. Because they didn't bring in Isaiah Thomas as a free agent. He was brought here as a trade. They didn't sell Isaiah on you're the next great Celtic.
They plastered his face all over North Station.
It's different. When you recruit someone as a free agent, like they wouldn't trade Horford the first couple of years either. When you recruit someone as a free agent and say you're the face of the team and you have to pick us over other teams, then they're not going to turn around and trade you. That's a horrible look. That's different than trading for a guy and then trading him again.
I just think Danny's, you know, he's too... I think, look, to his credit in that job, he's a lot... I think Danny, even though he gives you the smile and all that stuff and the aw-shucks, he's a lot more like Belichick than people want to admit. He's cold-blooded and it's, you know, sort of emotionless. Talk about the way Isaiah said he delivered the trade. The bottom line is this guy gave up his hips, maybe his career for you, and you just moved on. And that's fine. I'm cool with it. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't put it past them if the right deal was there to move Hayward. I think if you're banking on emotion and perception to sway a Danny Ainge decision, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm just telling you, they're not trading Hayward.
I think Ainge would trade anybody. Again, I'm with Gasper. I really do. I think he'd move anyone.
Sean in Marlborough on the Red Sox. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. I have a thought on the Red Sox, but two quick points. One, Papa John stepped down as the CEO a little while ago, and then he just stepped down. He was still the chairman, so that's where you were going with that. And the other thing, Maz, I wish I saved that Marcus Smart contract idea that I was half joking about. I should have saved that for Gasper and Felger.
I don't remember what it was, Sean. You have to refresh my memory.
Where the Ainge should offer him like $8 or $9 million plus bonuses for not shooting.
Oh, I heard this the other day. I actually was listening when this came up.
Yeah, I remember. This.
I'm
that's
aware.
Right.
I'm
yeah,
aware.
That's right.
But on the Red Sox, I haven't heard, someone might have said it, but this team kind of feels like the 2001 Mariners that won 116 games with Randy Johnson and Griffey and A-Rod, which is kind of equivalent to Sale.
That was Ichiro year.
Ichiro,
and Martinez.
Too.
And then they I thought they lost in the first round. They lost in the ALCS 4-1 to the Yankees, but, I mean, they got to the postseason, and they got up against a good team, and they got spanked.
Hey, do you think that's a fair comparison?
No. And I'll tell you why, because believe it or not, I think that Mariners team was better than this Red Sox team.
That Mariners team was loaded.
They were stacked. And honestly, I think Griffey was gone by then.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he was gone.
No, Brett Boone was on that, whatever. Brett Boone, Edgar Martinez, I think. They were stacked, though. They were. And it was Ichiro's rookie year. Gasper's right.
Yeah.
They won 116 games. I mean, they won 116 and 46. They finished 70 games over 500. And then the Yankees beat him in six. So, but again, the Yankees at that time were stacked. So, like, you know, it's not like there was any great injustice there, but see, that Seattle team was a little overrated, a little inflated, but they had more proven talent than this Red Sox team does. They did.
No, it's a great take, Mass, but it's just so you. It's
it
great.
Is. So, the Red Sox can't lose, and these guys can't stop bashing.
The one thing, though, because I was listening on the way, the one thing where they're right, and I think you're wrong, Felger, is you're talking about the record. The record against the other teams matter, because when you get to the playoffs, you're not going to advance the ALCS by beating the Toronto Blue Jays.
No, I got
it. You're going to have to beat the Indians or the Astros or the Yankees. Those are the teams you have to beat. So that's why that record matters. And they're 6-7 against Houston and the Yankees. So, you know, I know these guys are endlessly negative, and it's a little bit of a bit at this point. It's a little bit of a bit at this point, but they do have a valid point somewhere in there.
Said, you mean Baltimore is not going to be in the division series against them? 9-1 against the Orioles. Yeah, they could show up with their pants on their head and beat the Orioles, for crying out loud. They pitch J.D. Martinez and play Rick Porcello at third base, and they beat the Orioles.
We continue with your phone calls after Murray's update.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox will be going for their 11th win in a row tonight as they continue their four-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. You'll have Rick Porcello on the mound for the Red Sox, Toronto countering with Ryan Bricky. Last night, thanks to a Mookie Betts grand slam, Red Sox ended up beating Jays 6-4. As David Price had also got the win, got the win. He's now 20-3 lifetime against the Blue Jays. It's the most among active pitchers. Red Sox also today placed outfielder Andrew Benintendi on the bereavement list before tonight's game against the Jays. They brought up first baseman Sam Travis from AAA to take Benintendi's spot on the 25-man roster. In the meantime, Dodgers' Chase Utley going to make an announcement later today to say he's going to retire at the end of this season. Some NBA news. Free agent guard Isaiah Thomas agreed to a one-year, $2 million deal with the Denver Nuggets. Jimmy Butler declined a four-year, $110 million extension from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Running back DeMarco Murray, at 30 years old, announced his retirement after seven seasons in the NFL. And Kevin Anderson won his Wimbledon semifinals match over John Isner in 6 hours, 36 minutes. It was the second longest match at a major in tennis history. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub, your next update. Oh, no, check that. I have to give you the headlines and who they were brought to you by. Oh, what a silly goose I am. Headlines brought to you by Cape Cod Baseball League. Heading to the Cape this summer, don't forget to see the stars of tomorrow shine tonight. For schedules and locations, visit capecodbaseball.org. Now I'll give you the finisher. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Next update, 5 o'clock.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to the phones here with Gasper. We hit on the Papa John story a little bit ago. Devin and Lynn wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Devin.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Real quick, not to come off as a Brady honk here, but I'm going to come off as a Brady honk. You guys love to critique anything that Alex Guerrero does and how Brady's affiliation with him would reflect on what he does personally. Meanwhile, the guy who hugs Peyton Manning right after he wins the Super Bowl and his number one business partner comes off as a racist, but nobody is critiquing how did Peyton Manning not know about this? How is he not affiliated with this and everything else? What is your opinion on that?
Oh, no, I think it's fair. Murray joked about it the second that I read the story, and I said it's fair. I mean, if Papa John talks like that in open company or closed company, if that's just the way he talks, don't tell me that Jerry Jones...
He was close with Jerry Jones.
Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
You know,
Bob McNair, Jerry Richardson, who's now no longer with the Panthers, but any of these guys. You mean to tell me that those guys aren't N-bombing every other word?
Oh, I'm just saying,
the players sign or whatever.
If this is the way John Schnatter talks, and you're in his orbit, don't tell me that you don't know what he's about. So, sure, absolutely, cast aspersions, go away. I mean, go ahead. You won't get an argument from me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the last day in Brighton without
us. It wouldn't be, Mario. That's exactly how many times that happens. See, because Jimmy usually turns my mic on. I'm not blaming Billy. I'm just saying. Okay.
I was about to do it, Maz. Don't feel bad. I was about to make fun of you, and then I realized that mine was off too.
I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong to criticize those guys for being in business with him. Now, the one thing I will say is that when a lot of this stuff... Now, look, I don't know if it makes it better or worse. A lot of this is stuff has come out. They've dumped them.
Well, so let's see who dumps who. You know, a lot of people are dumping Papa John's. Let's see what Manning does. Let's see what these guys do.
But Brady's still in business with Guerrero. Not that it's quite apples to apples.
Well, even beyond sort of the Papa John's thing, and to me, the most troubling thing here is the connection with Jerry Jones, who to me has been one of the most outspoken owners against the protest. And so, you know, you can say with Jerry Jones that it's just about the product. But as Murray said, you know, guys like Jerry Jones, Bob McNair, Jerry Richardson. I mean, go look, you know, Jerry Richardson, what's he, Hardee's?
Yes, Hardee's. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Go look up some of the stories about issues that they've had with discrimination. So it's just interesting to me that, you know, these guys affiliated with. So is it really about, like, the product and the fans don't like it? Or is it about something else?
Thank you. Well, I think we know what it's about for Schnatter. Black and white. Here's Zach in Middleborough. Go ahead, Zach, on the Red Sox.
Jim Murray, this one's for you. Jim, you are scarred by the Red Sox performance the past few years in the playoffs, and you can't buy in on anything they're doing until they play some meaningful games. And I feel that pain, but I feel pretty good about them going into the playoffs, and here's why. Alex Cora is doing a pretty good job with the bullpen. Do you remember Farrell last year? He would try to get four or five outs out of a guy that should be out there for two batters, like Kelly or Barnes. And Cora's doing a pretty good job at taking guys out of there when he sees it starting to go off the rails.
Oh, you'll get no argument out of me on that. He's been better with that.
They're better.
Yeah.
They're not better, Chris?
They are, but here's the thing. You know, I understand what you're saying. You can't manage around I don't want to say bad bullpen, but a bullpen that's not fully equipped for the playoffs. I know people love to bag on Farrell, and that's true. Look, Hembry and Barnes were good for periods last year, and then when it came down to time to picking the playoff roster, they weren't on it. They weren't on it because they didn't trust those guys. So ultimately, it's not about the manager. It's about those guys. Do they take some step forward? Is there some evolution? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It's largely the same bullpen as last year.
Oh, it's almost identical bullpen.
But there also was, not to cut you off, but there was some sort of weird beef that happened between Kimbrell and Farrell last year where he just stopped using him unless it was a clean ninth. He wouldn't use him in eighth inning situations. And I looked at that last game against the Texans, Texas Rangers, rather, where I feel like if that was Farrell, he would leave Hembry in there to blow that game completely rather than bringing in Craig Kimbrell a little bit early.
Yeah, that's true. I hear what you're saying. But ultimately in the playoffs, like, you know, look, you have what you have, and it's either good enough or it's not. I don't think the manager's like, you know, I just think of Joe Maddon, right, trying to pull the Terry Francona the year that they won. Like, I mean, you have what you have. Terry Francona figured that out. Kudos to him. He had Andrew Miller. If you didn't have Andrew Miller, you shouldn't have been managing that way. It was as simple as that.
It's spinning the wheel of gutless bums, and it doesn't matter who's spinning is what you're saying. I get it.
It's up to those guys, not the manager.
I understand.
My point.
They might have a fatal flaw. It feels like they do. In the seventh, eighth inning, I'm not going to argue with you.
They need another horse in the bullpen.
The manager's better. The power hitting's better. The lineup's better with Martinez. So they're not the same team. They're not the same team that did what it did in the last two playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you can't mash your way to a World Series or even a playoff win. It's about pitching. And the pitching, outside of Sale, still stinks.
It's the same pitching.
It's in the bullpen, it's largely the same pitching.
What's different about the rotation other than Pomerantz has been hurt? He won 17 games last year.
I mean, what you have to hope for is that Sale's better the second time through. So you get in that, you know, Price or Eduardo Rodriguez or Porcello is, you know, good enough. I told you, you know, not to get on that road. Price is the key guy.
All right.
they need Price to step up.
He's going to find you now, Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy blew up your spot.
Paul and Avon with the Patriots thought for Chris. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
I worked for security for the patch, you know, and I was down on the practice field. They ended up adding 20 guys, you know. Anyways, Brady came out with Mitchell, and he was... I swear to God, he was Amendola.
When was this?
About a week and a half ago. And they were out there for a good hour, and, I mean, he was running, you know, Amendola's routes. And also, what surprised me even more is he was doing, like, what Cook's job was, going 40, too.
Hey, Paul?
And Brady was nailing him, right, you know, right in his hands.
Okay, Paul.
And also, when Brady walked by... He looks like he's put on about 15 pounds of friggin', you know, just weightlifting, you know?
Resistance bands, that's where it's at.
Where Paul, where is he bigger?
Excuse me?
Where is he bigger? Where did he put on the muscle?
Well, it looked like his upper chest.
Okay, you know? Paul. This is former Patriots security guard Paul in Avon.
I was going to say, that's the last time anybody ever heard from Paul in Avon. Black van pulls right up, knocks on the door.
Paul Hotfingers.
I was going to say, don't lose the number. Call us anytime with any information, but something tells me you won't be. Your access is about to be denied.
Maybe they give this guy the needle and the pumps.
Long commercial-free segment is next. We continue best and worst of 2000, best and worst of our time here in Brighton, because this is it. This is the last day.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, I'm a max guy, so I deserve the max. And we just got to continue to take care of business on the court and let the cards fall where they may. But I'm happy for all the guards and all the other guys getting their money because they deserve it. But, I mean, my time's coming. They know they got to bring the Brinks truck out. They know that.
Again, that is quite a turn. Is there a date on that clip, Billy? That was like, is that last off season? I mean, was it a year?
It was a year ago, like last week.
Wasn't that like a summer league?
It was
in Vegas.
I was going to say, was it a year ago summer league?
Yeah. Did Sherrod get him?
That might have been what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Beadle and I were working.
July 9th, 2017. Yeah. A year later, he goes from demanding the max to getting the minimum.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. The TJ Maxx. That's his new nickname. Max for the minimum.
Couple more calls here before we play a couple more clips. Here's Russell and Bill Ricca on Isaiah Thomas. Go, Russ.
Hi. I feel like Isaiah Thomas is going to ruin the development of all their rookies that they drafted, specifically like Michael Porter Jr. What do you think on that?
So the Nuggets, is Porter Jr. a point guard?
No. But, I mean, I don't think that. But they do have a glut in the backcourt there. I mean, you have Gary Harris is there. Barton's there. Jamal Murray's there. Malik Beasley never gets to play for them, and I think he's a guy that has some potential. So I'll be honest with you. I was a little surprised by this because I didn't think it was a natural fit.
But I'll tell you what.
But they want to make the playoffs. That's the thing.
I think it's a good signing. I don't know. The guy, he's capable of 25, 30 points a game and if he gets the minutes, right? So
yeah,
the guy could score if he's healthy, and if he's coming off the bench and leading your second unit – for only $2 million, a veteran minimum? Like, I don't know. That feels like a no-brainer to me.
Right, but again, like, think of how far he has fallen.
No, that's ridiculous. But like, I just think
that's what they signed him for, to be a bench player.
I'm surprised there was not a contending team. That,
again, how about Philly? Like,
I agree. I mean, TJ McConnell was good against the Celtics, but wouldn't you like to have? And you don't know what you have in Fultz. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Second unit, Burr crosses ass for the Celtics, who you're going to run into in the playoffs. It doesn't cost you a damn thing. Like. He should be a sixer.
How about Milwaukee?
Yes.
After watching that.
I would have loved to have taken him.
Yeah.
I would love Isaiah
on
our team.
He's a giant pain in the ass.
It's the Bucks. We beggars can't be choosers, dude. We'll take
what
we can get.
Look at what he helped to do, because I know everyone, all the detractors and doubters will say, oh, it's all about LeBron. He was there for a cup of coffee in Cleveland,
okay, we don't
and
have
he thought
LeBron.
He was bigger than LeBron.
Okay, but he's bigger than, he's fine for us. Again, the standards. Eric Bledsoe? I'd rather have Isaiah Thomas than that loser Bledsoe.
Yeah, I would too. I will say this. It is interesting, to Jim's point there, that the Lakers had a choice between bringing in Rondo and Thomas, and they went with Rondo. So that might sort of tell you something about how in the league maybe maybe that sort of makes the point that Jim's making.
Yeah, that also might be LeBron.
Like, yeah, that's true.
You know, LeBron saying, don't bring that little weasel in here again. I don't want anything to do with him. I'd rather have that a-hole Rondo in here than...
But again, I mean, that's basically the point. Like, you know, I'd rather have Rondo than, the baggage he brings than IT. That's sort of Jim's point. Like, you know, maybe people don't fully understand what he brings to a team, you know, from a negative standpoint in terms of his behavior.
Okay. See, I don't think he pollutes young players, though. Do you?
No,
I
don't
feel that way.
So what would the last day in Brighton be without Carlton in Tampa? Go ahead, Carlton.
I'll always look back fondly on the time I infiltrated that rat's nest in Brighton and expounded to Hardy on why I was the listener that hated Felger the most before trying to drown Napkin Boy in the dunk tank.
So hold on, let me stop. This is true. When I did the dunk tank thing for the Celtics up in the front parking lot a couple of years ago, Carlton and Orwell showed up in disguise.
Yes, there was a monster among us.
And was one of the shooters. So that actually happened. That's kind of creepy. Just FYI. But anyway, Carlton, thank you for your donation. That's what's most important.
Yeah, well, you know, today when Mike from Woburn calls in to claim that Peyton Manning is a racist because he did a pizza commercial, could you ask Mike if his animus for the French national soccer team is actually because he's the biggest apologist for that cheating Croatian coach football coach that you guys have? And maybe Bill can send over Edelman and Ninkovich to Russia before the game on Sunday and counsel them on juicing for the big game this Sunday. But the real reason I called today, guys, was because I don't know if you guys saw it, but Tony Romo predicted that the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually going to go to the Super Bowl this year. They're going to win the AFC East. And I wanted to comment on the fact you guys have all been hitting the nitrous and not realizing that over the next 5 years, it's going to be the Patriots that are at the bottom of the Boston sports barrel. You traded five, you got rid of five of your best guys and replaced them with two rookies from Georgia, two washed up has-been receivers in Britt and Cordarrelle Patterson, and another Rutgers twin in your secondary, and this is before this is actually before Bill alienated the entire team by gagging up the Super Bowl, is at war with his two star players that a year from now will be on the decline, and the cheating Crowell will be out in a year. He'll be replaced by the coach who failed miserably at Denver before he got fired for cheating. So I hope that the new studio has a really good ventilation system, because Catboy's going to be token up so much to try to deal with the epic failure that is going to be the New England Patriots over the next 5 years.
Quickly, Chris, how do you feel about the Patriots right now?
I mean, not as good as I felt about them, obviously, last year. But I still look at the rest of the conference, and I say, well, who's going to stop them? You know, who says Blake Bortles can duplicate what he did last year? And people are going to treat the Jaguars differently. So, you know, Pittsburgh's the team. I mean, to me, I thought the last couple of years that on paper, Pittsburgh was more talented than the Patriots. But the reality is that they can't make the plays when it matters, and they're terribly outcoached every time they play them. So, you know, I think it's, once again, it's the Patriots and it's Pittsburgh at the top of the AFC.
Okay. I mean, you can talk about the competition, and that's fair. But I think in a vacuum, the team is at a crossroads. I mean, you know, their best, most trusted receiver out for the first month. Totally new situation at left tackle, and we still don't know who that person is. I mean, that's obviously a big one. Not that I care about running backs, but Deion Lewis was your best running back, gone. A guy who was coming on the outside in Brandon Cooks, gone. So just offensively.
Edelman's backup, gone. Amendola.
Why do I keep blowing over off that one? Amendola, who I think is just at money time is when you're going to miss him. There's going to be a 3rd and 12 in a big game down the stretch, and That ball is going to bounce on the ground, and it would have gone to Amendola. And so I think that's going to catch up with you. Absolutely, Amendola. So I just look at all that. Never mind the intangible piece of the Bill and Brady thing, which I think is real. And, you know, they should be able to fight through that and play through that because they always have. But I don't know. Let's see how that plays out. So I think you're right to be arrow pointed down on the Patriots.
You can tell me the rest of the conference stinks, and that's true. Like I can't argue against that one. I grade the Patriots against the Patriots, and I can't remember the last time I was this unsettled about them going into the year.
Okay, is there a Murray and Gasper show tomorrow? I don't think there is there?
Nope. No, thanks to the move, we get a reprieve, so I'll be polluted on a boat.
They needed to make sure that when you guys came in on Monday that there were no issues, because we all know how well you roll with the punches, Felger, so they wanted to make sure they had a couple of days to work out the kinks, so it was,
well,
you
so
know,
this is why
it was suitable for your highness.
Perfect for you guys to be used as guinea pigs. You let them go in there and get beaten up with this, you know, all the things that don't go right, and so it's a clean opening for us.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's perfect, Chris. There'll be no issues on Monday when Murray shows up polluted off a boat. No, I'm sure that'll go totally smoothly.
Okay, so anyway, Chris, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. We have an hour to go. No commercials here, just an update. We'll do a lot in the final hour, saying goodbye here to our studios in Brighton. It's the final hour of Felger and Mazz from where we've been broadcasting for the last 9 years as we move to Dorchester. We'll do that with your phone calls and everything we've hit on today, so don't go anywhere, and we will get to you. Again, no commercials here with the update.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.